Analog watch, natural turf, acoustic guitar. They're called retronyms, and they remind us how things have changed. Linguist Jeff Nunberg says you can tell a lot about the pace of change by studying the retronyms we use.
This was one of those upstairs-downstairs exchanges we have in our house when my 12-year-old daughter Sophie is getting breakfast. "Dad, where's the maple syrup?" "I put it in the icebox," I say. A pause, then Sophie yells back, "Dad, it's not there." And I answer, "Yes, it is, on the top shelf next to the milk." "Oh," she says, "you mean down there. I thought you said it was in the icebox on the top." I apologize to her. It wasn't Sophie's fault that her dad is behind the curve in the nomenclature of domestic life. Actually, what's curious is that I or anybody is still using the word icebox. That fixture started to disappear from American kitchens in the 1920s, when electric and gas-powered refrigerators first became available for home use. The new machines went by names like coolerator, frigerator, cold deck, and most famously Frigidaire. But at the time, most people just referred to them as gas or electric iceboxes. There was a joke in Life magazine in 1925 poking fun at the vogue for newfangled household appliances. A bride at a telephone says, "Oh, John, do come home. I've mixed the plugs some way. The radio's all covered with frost, and the electric icebox is singing way out west in Kansas." An icebox has persisted for another 75 years, long after the last iceman hung up his tongs. That's usually the way things work when a new technology or new way of doing things appears. We tend to keep calling it by the name of what it replaces, even long after it's appropriate. We still refer to the luggage compartments at the back of our cars as trunks. Not even Sophie objects to that one. And we're still talking about dialing telephones, even though the old sort of dial has become such a rarity that we've had to invent a new description for it, the rotary dial. Rotary dial is what some people call a retronym, a term that expresses a distinction that didn't used to be necessary. You can get a good sense of the pace of change over the past century just by looking at the retronyms we've accumulated. New technologies have forced us to come up with terms like steam locomotive, silent movie, manual transmission, AM radio, day baseball, conventional oven, and acoustic guitar. Cultural changes have led to retronyms like physical therapy, heterosexual marriage, and men's wrestling. And now we've had to introduce another set of terms to distinguish things in the material world from their virtual counterparts: surface mail, face-to-face conference, brick-and-mortar retailer, and, God save us all, paper book. You could think of this torrent of retronyms as a reflection of the pliable metaphysics of modern life. Nowadays, everything can be estranged from its essence. We can make watches without hands, beer without alcohol, grapes without seeds, ovens without heat, and babies without sex. But the phenomenon also has a lot to do with simple linguistic laziness. We start by calling a microwave an oven because it's too much trouble to come up with a new name. Then later we have to go back and find a new description for the old sort of ovens. And yet sometimes we're curiously reluctant to let the old word do new tricks. We may talk about electronic mail, for example, but we don't describe the online messages we receive as electronic letters, maybe out of nostalgia for the smell of ink and paper. We didn't stretch broadcast to cover the cable transmission of television programs. And while we allow that photos can be digital, we still reserve the phrase home movies for images recorded on film. Otherwise, they're videos. Why do we refuse to extend some names to new categories while readily extending others? Is it out of a sense that the new thing is essentially different from the old one? Is it nostalgia, marketing, or just linguistic inconsistency? Those sound like the kinds of questions my friends and I used to idle our evenings away with back when we were in graduate school. But sometimes a lot hangs in the balance. Take the word copy. When we say that a computer makes a copy of a file to your hard disk, are we talking about the same thing as the copy that we make when we take a book to the Xerox machine? If they're the same, then the major publishers have a lot more power in the digital age than they had in the age of print. Time Warner or Bertelsmann can't stop you from lending a hard copy of a magazine article to a friend, but they can stop you from sending it around as an email attachment, since you can't do that without making an electronic copy of the document. But some legal scholars argue that a digital copy isn't at all the same kind of thing as a physical copy. No more than my new Amana is the same kind of thing as the wooden box that sat in my grandmother's kitchen dripping ice water into a pan. I may use the same name for both of them, but Sophie isn't fooled for an instant.
Jeff Nunberg is a consulting linguist at Stanford and the author of the new book, The Way We Talk Now.